Welcome to the EMSO Talks podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new edition of EMSO Talks. My name is Patrick Esteruelas, Global Head of Research at EMSO Asset Management. And I'm here to share with you some of the takeaways that me and my team gathered from meetings in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago on the sideline of the IMF and World Bank spring meetings. Typically, the IMF and World Bank spring and annual meetings serve as a platform to take the pulse of the market and assess what are the driving concerns and risks over the coming months. It's typically a lot easier, when you see a very strong consensus emerging amongst investors, which typically serves as a contrarian indicator, as we clearly saw last October when pessimism was rampant. And that set up the stage for a significant rally in risk assets and particularly EM assets on the back of a downside surprise in U.S. inflation and China deciding to front load its post-COVID reopening. Unfortunately, there was no such consensus present at the spring meetings a couple of weeks ago. The mood was decidedly less bearish than it was in October, but there was no real consensus around future direction of both the economic cycle as well as overall risk assets. At the JP Morgan investment conference, which typically gathers a critical mass of investors with almost 1,600 investors present, the survey results, which they typically conduct, show and reaffirm that overall lack of conviction. The room was split over whether we would see a U.S. recession in the second half of this year or potentially delayed all the way back to the first half of next year. The room was equally split three ways as to whether treasuries would remain in a 3.5% to a 4% range or whether they would move to a 3.25% to 3.5% range or potentially move even further below 3.25%. And the room was equally split and unconvinced about what assets could potentially be the biggest performer, with no traditional asset class gathering more than 12% conviction, while 17% actually preferred to hold cash. Now, our assessment, was that recession, could potentially be more front-loaded than the current split, in the overall market, and that real rates, we think, are already close to sufficiently restrictive. We have seen, a number of indicators, that point to a recession potentially, being on the pipeline, although I think the market is, waiting for more concrete evidence of, U.S. labor market, cooling in order to remove the floor, from under a U.S. consumer that has been, holding the recovery intact, but that has seen, many of its savings erode significantly over the course of the last 12 months since the post-pandemic highs of the spring summer of 2020. As a result, the Fed was largely seen as pausing soon, but with the market still split over whether the cuts that the market is currently pricing for the second half of this year would be validated, or whether the Fed would indeed stick to its higher for longer mantra and not deliver cuts until well into 2024. Geopolitical risks were viewed as still proliferating, But our sense, you know, is that they have been much more internalized, socialized, and better understood. China and the U.S. Were still, you know, seen as, you know, very much in geostrategic, you know, competition, and you know, largely decoupling from one another. But with you know, the tail risks of you know, significant you know, escalation, you know, that could be economically disruptive. I mean, be it through you know, the Taiwan you know, theater of war, or you know, renewed, you know, tariff war, you know, seen as you know, fat tail risks. While in Ukraine, you know, I think everybody by now is internalizing the you know, possibility that we're going to see a frozen conflict with no likely resolution, but also you know, unlikely you know, escalation above and beyond Ukrainian territory, which could you know, draw in you know, other countries, you know, and potentially result in a much more disruptive event. What does this all mean for our unbeloved asset class, emerging markets, you know, which, you know, of course, had a torrid, you know, 2022 after, you know, a rather, you know, disappointing 2021? For the most part, you know, we sensed that the, you know, room was, you know, happy to entertain, you know, the notion to be, you know, received EM local rates. Was relatively cautious, you know, when it comes to EM credit, and with a lot of you know, divisions in the room, really, you know, over you know, whether EMFX, after what has been a strong start to the year, you know, could potentially have you know, further legs over the course of the next several months. We largely share this view. EM local rates are you know, by and large, are our preferred asset class. On the back of you know, our view that you know, the Fed you know, has indeed paused, in order for EM local rates to you know, perform, you don't need the Fed to cut rates. You just simply need the Fed to stop hiking. You know, something that you know, we think the you know, Fed has you know, more strongly signaled in you know, the meeting that we had you know, earlier this week. And a couple of weeks, of course, you know, after the IMF spring meetings in Washington. We also feel that EM central banks, while cautious and not wanting to, you know, start, you know, a preemptive, you know, cutting cycle, you know, will have, you know, significant room to lower rates, you know, well in advance of the start of the cutting cycle, you know, across G10, given that, unlike you know, previous cycles, you know, they have you know, front-loaded their tightening in some cases, you know, starting all the way back in you know, March 2021, and as a result, you know, have you know, plenty of you know, cushions, you know, to you know, continue lowering rates while maintaining you know, real rates, you know, still at high enough levels, you know, to bring inflation down. With inflation, you know, consistently surprising to the downside, I mean, across most of the EM jurisdictions that we're seeing, and with the exceptions of a handful of central banks like the South African Reserve Bank or the, you know, Bank of Malaysia, most central banks now, you know, ready to, you know, call the end of the cycle and beginning to, you know, position for the start of a cutting cycle at some point before the end of this year. You know, there is, you know, we think, you know, plenty of value, you know, to potentially be received in EM local rates. The you know, consensus you know, around the room, and something that we share, is that you know, Latin America may be you know, poised to outperform you know, other regions on account of the fact that real rates are significantly more elevated. Inflation, you know, has also more consistently surprised to the downside, and we think you know, Latin American central banks are probably going to be amongst the first EM central banks to actually you know, start cutting in the second half of this year, likely led by, you know, Chile and Peru, and we think Brazil and potentially Mexico before the year is up. EM dollar credit, you know, on the other hand, you know, remained a relatively unloved asset, you know, something that, you know, we also broadly share. You know, this is a function, you know, of the fact that EM spreads, despite the recent widening, have not widened to anywhere close to the levels that we have typically seen in advance of U.S. Recessionary cycles. With the exception of, single B credits and triple C distress credits, credit spreads, remain excessively tight on a historical basis. In distressed land, there was, also a lot of, debate and discussion on the sidelines of the IMF spring meetings, over which might be the countries that may be next in line, to potentially fall into default. Over the course of the last year, we have seen a number of, countries, default or, trading at distress prices that already signal, the possibility of an impending default. Those, of course, include, Sri Lanka, Ghana, Pakistan, as well as, Argentina. But there are a number of countries, in single B land, that are, threatening to, fall off the ledge and potentially join, those, distressed countries. One country that was, top of mind, amongst, everybody on the sidelines at the IMF spring meetings was Egypt, which, has been loved by investors over the course of the last several years on account of, their ability, to secure external pockets of liquidity from multilateral lenders, continue to count on the, goodwill of, Gulf countries while they have been, pursuing an IMF, sponsored orthodox adjustment program. But today, the feeling is that in the face of, high external, funding requirements, Gulf countries that seem to be demanding much bigger concessions and better valuations from assets that they may be looking to acquire, before providing additional liquidity relief to Egypt, and external liquidity conditions remaining challenging. Egypt, is a country that is seen as still potentially on the edge. And unlikely, I think, to receive significant sustained sponsorship unless they're willing to embrace, a much more orthodox policy response that would include a significant, currency adjustment and a significant acceleration in overall privatization sales that can pave the way for a reduction of the role that the army has played across the economy and that has contributed to many of the distortions that are currently present in Egypt. EMFX, was, seen as, somewhere in between. I think a lot of people around the room are, drawn by, the significant carry that is on offer, particularly in a context where, a lot of EM central bank policymakers were at pains, to say that they are, not yet, ready to, cut rates and are waiting to see evidence of a, significant further decline in inflation. Before they're willing to, entertain that possibility. But at the same time, the, overall sense, was that, much of this will depend on, which side of the dollar smile, will the dollar, end up, trading at. If we do see a much more disorderly collapse of U.S. regional banks, that could result in a significant loss in credit momentum and front load the possibility of U.S. recession and potentially even increase the scope of that recession being not quite as shallow as what the market has been pricing thus far. The risk is that the dollar will trade stronger in a risk-off fashion, and that any currencies that could end up outperforming would be your traditional safe-haven currencies in G10, rather than high carry EMFX currencies that are still at the mercy of global sentiment and the overall global cycle. That pretty much wraps up, I would say, our overall sense from the room. Thank you for joining us today. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact our wonderful investor relations team.